Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Nice.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant for the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the event horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I'm your host, Gene Turnbow.
And I am your other host, Susan Fox.
And with us is Paul Ehrlich of Clever Recluse Games. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you've got a new... The last time you were with us was, March of 2023, where you had a Dungeons & Dragons campaign overlay?
Correct. But yeah, it was a one-shot adventure, A Shadowed House, and we released that. And it did some pretty good numbers for us, and we were very happy. But this is our pride and joy I'm here to talk about today. This is a game I've been working on probably for 30 years.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's called I Am Minotaur. And we were just discussing before the start of the show, is it Minotaur or Minotaur?
I've always heard it pronounced Minotaur, but I've had it on good faith that certain people in the industry say Minotaur. I've always pronounced it Minotaur, and that's how we've always pronounced it over at Clever Recluse, but what do we know?
Yeah,
King Minos has nothing to do with this particular scenario, apparently.
No. Not to my knowledge.
It's Minotaur sounds like, you know.
It's not Urator, it's Minotaur.
A big bull man working in the mines. He's extracting ore. He's a Minotaur.
That is a scenario. It's not one I've thought of, but that is definitely a scenario.
That'll be in version 2.0.
That was right. Yeah, time to put out the sequel.
Got to get that gold from somewhere.
The 1.1 release. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a completely new game system. I mean, it's not just a...
This is not D&D overlay time.
Pathfinder. It's its own thing.
That's correct. Yeah, it's actually based on percentile dice, and it's a completely new system. Very proud of it. We've been working on it. We've had 100 hours of playtesting in the current iteration, and I've been working on it off and on since I was 17 years old.
Oh boy!
Wow.
Yeah. And I am unfortunately much older than that now.
Yeah, well, you and me both. Let's see.
So you've got a Kickstarter.
That is correct. We do have a Kickstarter coming up, and it's going to be probably launching the first quarter of 2025, but we have our preview page up, so you can start following it right now. And we would love to have your support.
We sure. Well, you got that. We'll put all that information on our website when we talk about this show.
Perfect. Thank you.
So you started this years and years and years ago.
Yes.
It was your original concept way back when.
What is it about the Minotaur that made you make that the focal point of the game?
That was a relatively recent addition. Originally, it was a Dungeons & Dragons clone. And what happened was I kind of thought if you wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons, you would play Dungeons and Dragons. It's a good game. It's got a lot of support. And I took one of the aspects of the game that was unique, which was you could play as a Minotaur, and I just expanded upon that. And what I think about Dungeons and Dragons is I think Dungeons and Dragons is almost like the Star Wars of RPGs. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it, but it has a very human-centric perspective. There isn't a lot of alien lore in Star Wars. I'm sure that there are some people who'd be like, no, there's plenty, you just don't know, but it's not front and center. And so what I thought was, what if I made a game that was a fantasy role-playing game but had a bit more of the Star Trek perspective, where you did have all these different alien races and different perspectives, and what would that be like? And this is what came out of it.
Oh, that's neat stuff. The idea of stepping outside the comfort zone, you know, stepping outside of the sandbox and seeing what else is out there is really compelling.
So what is the character of a Minotaur like that is not like a regular, you know, just a human with a cow mask on?
Well, there is a code of honor that the Minotaurs all try to follow. Some are more successful than others. And the code of honor is alien, would be alien to definitely modern human thinking and even to medieval human thinking. The perspective is just different, and I'm trying to think of the word, and it's eluding me for the moment, but what Minotaurs consider important would be different from what humans consider important.
So what are their priorities?
Exactly, their priorities. Well, their priorities are honor, doing things above board, no matter what, proving themselves superior to other races. Yes, that type of prowess, honor is considered very, very important to Minotaurs.
Historically, Minotaurs have been singular. It's not exactly the kind of thing that you read, you know, fantasies about societies of Minotaurs.
Yes.
Well, not typically. I've been exposed lately to some steamy mythological fantasy romances, and there were Minotaurs involved, and they were hunky. they were big and strong.
I can't 42. Say that we were inspired by any of that.
Oh, okay, just checking.
But I did hear it existed. There have been a few Minotaur societies in fantasy literature. Absolutely, Margaret Weiss, Kryn. Mm-hmm. It's not really talked about a whole lot with Dragonlance, but they existed. But yeah, and that's actually one of the dichotomies of the game, is that your character can go berserk and kind of go crazy on your entire party and attack the entire party. And what this whole code of honor thing is in many ways, it's their society's reaction to the possibility of them going berserk. They have this extremely rigid and structured society to deal with the fact that they, on an individual level, can be unpredictable at any moment.
Like an actual bull, you know? Don't yep. tease a bull. don't poke him with swords, and don't wave things in his face, and he won't charge you.
Well, and you know, as a character, one of the dangers that you have is you have other Minotaurs. You start out as a fairly weak Minotaur. It's a leveling system, just like, say, Dungeons & Dragons or anything else. And you start out relatively weak, and larger and stronger Minotaurs may actually tease you and try and get you to attack them. And that way, oh, well, there's this code of honor. You attacked me. Great. I can kill you, you know. So there's that's a whole conflict that you have to navigate when you're in a Minotaur city, mm-hmm. which is different than, say, D&D.
Yeah, because nothing says loving like a raging Minotaur whose upper mental functions have been shut down.
Well, you know, like any adolescent, you know?
Uh-huh.
You could say he'd been decaffeinated.
Oh my God.
Gotcha. He can't take me anywhere.
No.
Not twice.
Not twice anyway.
Anyway, if the young Minotaur loses it, he becomes the, you know, Veal Scallopini.
It would not behoove you to continue.
Oh, don't even challenge me.
These are good. I'm going to say.
You'll steal them.
These are playtest sessions, but these are good.
Please, please steal them.
Yeah, I don't understand what your beef is.
Oh, Veely.
One of our first ads is your big beefy RPG is here.
We have that
in big logo. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I probably have 40 or 50 cow jokes I could have used.
Cows with puns. Oh, that's a song we need to play before this show.
Yeah.
Or maybe after.
The game is a lot of fun. I've played with tables that are goofy and make a lot of cow puns and everything else. Uh-huh. And I've also played it with tables that take it very seriously, and you can have like a hear a pin drop sometimes. And the game seems to accommodate both play styles, which makes me very happy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's really cool. It shows that the system is robust enough to support the imagination of the players.
And there's all kinds of players.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
So 100 hours of test time. What did any major changes come out of that? Or did it work out mostly the way you expected with some minor revisions?
I would say this one worked out mostly the way I expected with some minor revisions. One thing that really did throw a playtester, and it's very funny, is some of the names of the gods. Excuse me, some of the names of the gods have changed. So that's thrown some people off. Mostly, it has stayed the same. Or one or two classes that had to be nerfed. They were just too powerful. But in general, everything went the way I was expecting it to. But I had been working on it for 30 years up until that time, so that's always good. Always helps.
Yeah. Pronunciation of God's names was probably an interesting...
It's not like Wagyu, Black Angus.
No, actually, it's interesting. They're based on the ancient Greek gods.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
But they aren't the ancient Greek gods because all those gods have so much baggage attached to them. And I didn't want a GM to be limited by it being Zeus, mm-hmm, or Dionysus or Hera. I wanted it to be, okay, this god is like Zeus. He has qualities that are similar to Zeus, but he's different enough that a GM can change it up and keep the players on their toes. Mm-hmm. So instead of, say, like Ares, we have Berkamos, who is a god of berserker rage. And the Minotaurs, of course, very much worship the god of berserker rage. Quite a few of them do. But it's not Ares. So you can do different things with him instead of just, you know, okay, well, this is the Greek mythos. I'm kind of in this box.
Yeah, pulling too much from classical mythology would have definitely put you in a straitjacket. I can see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even with monsters, we did the same thing. We don't have necessarily a bunch of ancient Greek monsters. We have some new stuff. And if the players haven't perused the creature section, they're going to be taken by surprise every so often by things they encounter. It's not the typical D&D type stuff.
Well, if you don't read the whole book before you go into a game, you're making a big mistake. But I'm a reader. What can I say? I don't like surprises.
Yeah, we skimmed through the sample pages you gave us, and it looks really robust. It looks really well thought out.
Well, yeah, it's a Minotaur. It's going to be robust. What's it going to be? A mayfly?
Here we go again.
What?
Oh, Thank you. I mean, really, the Kickstarter is going to be mostly for art. I might have an editor check everything out, but it's going to be mostly a copy editor. But the Kickstarter is going to almost be for art. I'm probably not even going to see, I'm not going to see a nickel of it, most likely. So
that's all right. You'll sell enough copies, you know, that sooner or later the volume will pay off.
I hope so.
That's the point.
Yeah.
So you're looking at basically taking the bones of this thing and putting it in a really, really nice suit.
Exactly.
Well, if he's paying the artists, which is something we advocate around here, we'll have something to really look forward to.
We have some amazing artists lined up, and I don't feel comfortable saying their names because obviously it's all dependent on the Kickstarter. But I'm very, very excited.
Well, I'm very pleased, as many of our listeners will be, that you are engaging actual human beings, you know, with their own portfolios and their own particular skill sets and advantages.
Live artists and not just AI prompts.
Right, right. I mean, AI is so controversial in the industry. I do need to make a confession. We are using a bit of AI for our stock, not of as our stock art, but just as a vision.
Yeah,
but
conceptualization is what
conceptualization,
it's
exactly. Yeah. But we're not going to use it. We do not want to use it in the book.
Yeah, it's slug graphics. You're using it as slug graphics.
Essentially, yes.
You know, placeholder stuff to remind you of what it's, you know, what it's going to be when it's actually done.
Yeah,
which exactly. I think that's a wonderful use of AI. It's either that or
jokes,
drawing, or drawing pictures on napkins. You know, take your pick.
Basically, you know, or asking artists to work for free, and I have been down that road, and it is not a good road to go down in any respect.
It upsets everybody, and the artists, even when they agree to work for free, when you have that situation, there's no incentive for them. It doesn't light a fire under their chair.
It doesn't give them inspiration, and it sure doesn't give them motivation to get things in on time.
Yes. I think with free, you get what you pay for, quite often.
Indeed, indeed.
Very much so. Yeah. So, let's see. The Kickstarter goes live when?
First quarter of 2025. And we're super looking forward to it. And we just launched the preview page a couple of weeks ago, and it's been a journey.
So really, you know, it'll be out in time for next Christmas.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Once you get everything greenlit, how long before you get your finished product and everything's properly packaged and ready for
go? There's always going to be room for slippage, but we're hoping that the PDFs will be done in October. We're going to have one package that is physical copies, and they may actually be February 2026.
What a long road getting it done.
Well, that's publishing biz, you know, whether it's games or books.
It's so funny. I go to like a party or something, and somebody's like, "Oh yeah, I do this and this." I'm like, "Oh great, yeah, I'll work with you soon." And he's like, "Oh well, I'm busy for next 3 months," and I'm thinking, "Oh no, that's 6-8 months down the line for me." You know,
yeah. Just the way I think. Yeah, the word "soon."
Yeah, the word "soon"
so relative.
For me is like six months. You know.
Well, Paul Ehrlich of Clever Recluse Games, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Event Horizon. We look forward to seeing this Kickstarter go, and we're certainly going to be contributors, and we certainly want to, you know, when this whole thing is done, we're looking forward to buying a copy ourselves.
I would love to play with you guys sometime if you're interested.
Sounds like fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to episode 281 of Sci-Fi.Radio's production of The Event Horizon for December 21st, 2024. Our guest this evening has been Paul Ehrlich of Clever Recluse Games, and we have been discussing the upcoming Kickstarter for and the release of his new tabletop role-playing game entitled I Am Minotaur. This show will air again tomorrow, December 22nd, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the upcoming Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbay FM, Pandora, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you enjoy the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi radio and becoming a patron of the station. We are listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go to paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operation fees, our music licensing, and more. We have been broadcasting continuously since 2009, and we are grateful for the support of listeners just like you. That URL is, again, patreon.com/sci-fi radio. This episode is copyright 2024 by Krypton Media Group Incorporated. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.